2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God and to all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Proper attitudes are very important when it comes to dealing with God's word. Many are rejecting and misunderstanding God's word because their attitude is just not right. Many have an attitude of wanting to please self instead of pleasing God. The account of Naaman the Syrian will give us insight into the importance of a proper attitude. Naaman was commander-in-chief of the Syrian king. He held a high place in the service of the king and was afflicted with leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease, a slowly progressing and obstinate disease characterized by lumps below the skin, scabs and white shining spots appearing to be deeper than the skin. As the disease progresses, it can cause the loss of fingers and toes. In Naaman's house, there was an Israelite maiden who served Naaman's wife. The Israelite maiden told her mistress that there is a prophet in Samaria that could heal Naaman of leprosy. Evidently, it was widely known, or this maiden had seen some of the things that Elisha had done. Elisha had done many miracles in his life, wanting a double portion of the spirit that was in his spiritual father, Elijah. And so, many things had been done by this man, Elisha. Naaman related this to the king of Syria. And the king sent Naaman to the king of Israel with a letter. And the king of Israel received the letter and read that he was to cure Naaman. He tore his clothes in alarm and exclaimed, "Am I God to be able to kill and to make alive?" You see, the king did not recognize the power of Elisha, did not want to send anyone to that particular man, and so he ignores the fact that he could have sent a man there to be clean. Elisha then comes into the picture. 2 Kings 5, verses 8 through 10. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?" Now, what does it mean to rend your clothes? To show great consternation, or to show great grief. A man in that particular age and time would take his clothes and tear them, at least a bit, in order to show that he was greatly consternated by that particular thing, that he was emotional about it, he was angry about it, or some other Naaman related this to the king of Syria. When the king of Israel received the letter, he rends his clothes. Back in verse 8. "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now the picture is an humble place where a prophet of God lives with his servant. An humble place, but suddenly there drives up a man. A man that is one of the greatest men in that part of the world. He is the one that has been taking prisoners. He is the one that has been subjugating the children of Israel. And he now stands before you in all his leprous glory. And he has an attitude. An attitude of, "I want it done my way." What he doesn't figure is that this prophet of God, doesn't do things Naaman's way. He does things Jehovah's way, and only Jehovah's way. Naaman has brought a big treasure, enough to make anyone wealthy beyond the dreams of avarice. But Elisha does things God's way. Doesn't take a single coin, not one thread of those garments. Not one bit. He simply tells him what God wants him to do. It's not a matter of money. It's a matter of what God will do for him. He doesn't satisfy his need for pomp and circumstance. "Go, wash 7 times in that old muddy river right over there. Not the ones at home. That one right over there." Elisha comes into the picture. He gives him good news, right? He can be clean. He just has to do it God's way. Naaman was not pleased. He was expecting more. 2 Kings 5, verse 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper.'" You would think, as important as I am, that more would be done. You know, when generals come to town, there's a band, right? When generals come to town, there's a dinner. When generals come to town, there is some kowtowing going on. People take care of them, but not Elisha. Elisha doesn't even go out to look at the man. Sends his servant, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan and be clean." He was expecting more, perhaps ceremony. Notice Naaman's complaint once again. "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" probably cleaner. They were up in the mountains. You know how mountain streams are. The snow melting, you know, it's beautiful. And then that the waters of Israel were down in the lowest part of the earth. They received every bit of dirt that could come in there. It was muddy. It was silty. Kind of like the Brazos River in Texas. It's just a mud bottom. Not any gravel or anything like that. Just mud. And if you stir it up, if you go in and stir it up, the water's not clear anymore. That's the way it is over there in that part of the world, in the Jordan. Notice the response of Naaman's servant, verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? If he had said, build a temple here and be clean, let's go find us some stone. We'll make it a good one too. We'll make it grand. Put my name there on the foundation stone. Everybody will know who built it for ages to come. Yeah, that'll do it. Then I'll be clean. But that wasn't God's way. God's way was to go dip 7 times in the Jordan and be clean. So he turned and went in a rage. A rage. Isn't that dangerous for a general of that age to be in a rage? Remember that movie Catch 22? Orson Welles plays a general. And some one or other displeases him and he wants to shoot him. But his guy that advises him says, No, you can't shoot people anymore. What do you mean I can't shoot people? I can shoot people if I want to. No, generals can be in a rage. And it was dangerous for this man to be in a rage. How many people could die because Naaman was angry? A lot. He had the men, he had the will, and he certainly had the temperament to get it done. But someone stepped in and said, Why don't you just wash and be clean? Now that sounds like a gospel preacher, doesn't it? A gospel preacher looks at the attitudes of people around and says, Why don't you just wash and be clean? You expect it to be this way. You expect it to be that way. Some people demand that it be simpler. Some people demand that it be more elaborate. Some people want it to be where they have to build a temple in order to get it done. Others, it's grace only. Why don't you just wash and be clean? He says, if the prophet had given you some difficult thing to do, wouldn't you have done it? Then why refuse to do something so relatively easy? This is a great thing he has asked you to do. Naaman, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. I want you to think about that. Those of you that are as old as me and older, think about what your skin looks like. All the scars that you have. All those little scabs that won't go away. I've got these things in my arm I just can't get rid of. I can't scrub them off. But Naaman dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and his skin is as a little child. You know how it is when you look at that newborn baby? It's perfect. Just perfect. That's how Naaman's was. Because he obeyed God. What happens to us when we do what God says for our salvation? Are there scars and scabs on our soul? No, we wash and be clean. That's how it is. The attitudes of Naaman. Verse 11. He had an I thought attitude. Behold, I thought. Naaman expected something different than what the prophet had given him. He wanted it done his way. He thought something else would happen. Therefore, he went away angry. Perhaps he was thinking about the priests back home. I don't know. Maybe they had a dramatic flair about them. Maybe so. I don't know. But he wanted something more than what he saw with the prophet. In fact, he didn't even see the prophet. The prophet's servant came out and told him what to do. He should have just been satisfied and been clean. Is this not the exact sentiment of many in the world today when they are confronted with God's Word? Many become angry. They have the I think attitude, just like Naaman had the behold I thought attitude. I thought another answer would be given. I thought it would have been done another way. This great preacher or this great priest of time past said such and such, and I thought it would be done that way. We need to be more concerned with what God thinks than what we think. Notice Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah writes, speaking of God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when it comes right down to it, it comes right down to what is truth, what is good, and what is right, who wins? Between the Lord of heaven and earth, between the God that created all things and His creation that is as an ant in His sight, who wins? Who created the air and who breathes the air? Go to the book of Job and see what Job was told. "Where were you when I established the foundations of the earth?" God is God, and so He is to be heard. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, please. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depth and the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." What God thinks is much more important than what I think. In fact, a minute after we're dead, before the judgment, it won't matter that much what I think. It's God's realm, and what He says goes. We pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The expecting more than was given attitude. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11 reveals another attitude that we often have of the attitudes of Naaman. Verse 11, "Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." He's expecting more. He wants what he wants, not what God has to offer. Naaman was expecting some type of special ceremony, expecting something different, and became angry as a result. Many in the church today get mad and leave because they're not getting what they expected. Perhaps they were expecting something more. Or it could be that they were not getting what they wanted. Naaman thought that something greater should happen. But what greater event could have occurred than his healing? It would have been a mighty fine day in my life if I had been a leper, was told by a prophet of God to go down and dip 7 times in that river that I can easily get to right over there, and I'm clean. I can go home. I cannot hurt anymore. I can serve my king longer and better. I can be there for my family. I can learn new things. I can smile under God's heaven. That would have been a great day. But it wasn't enough for Naaman at that point. Naaman wants something greater, maybe something more famous. Many today are expecting something greater and yet fail to see the greatness of what's offered. Just think about the greatness of forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. No man can take away your sins, but God can and He's willing. We say that's not enough all too often. The greatness of a home in heaven, a place prepared for you. The greatness of Christian fellowship. And I just thought of this, it's not in my notes, but in 1 John there's a place where it says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And Brother Guyon Wood's commentary on John, he tells a story about some native workers, Christians, that were trying to translate that part of the Scripture into their own language. And they refused to translate it as it was. No, let's rather say, we shall be allowed to sit at His feet and to kiss His feet. It's just too much. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The greatness of a Christian message is missed by too many. If we are not getting enough out of our religion, it's clear that we're not putting enough into it. Then in verse 12 of our text, the complain about what is commanded and would rather do something else attitude. Verse 12 reads, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. That wasn't what God commanded. That's not what God said would get the job done. Do that and be clean. Naaman the Syrian complained about having to dip in that old dirty Jordan River. He was told exactly what he needed to do to be healed of this horrible disease, and he complained about it. Can you imagine having leprosy and complaining about the cure? You know, one of the things that happens is when you get advanced leprosy, your nose falls off. It just dries up and falls off. It's an ugly thing. You have to cover yourself in order to keep others from getting it. You have to be aloof from everyone else. No, you'd want to get rid of it as soon as you can, if it's possible. For most, it's not possible. But there's a prophet in Israel. A prophet in Israel. Just like there's a prophet on earth today, His name is Jesus Christ. His message is still here, and we can wash and be clean. He was told what he needed to do, but he complained about it. Can you imagine having leprosy and complaining about the cure? Today, many are complaining about the Lord's cure for sin. No, that's a works salvation. We can't have that, even though that's not right what it is. It's not a works salvation. It's a grace salvation. You cannot pay for your salvation. You cannot do enough work in order to be saved. It's simply not possible. It takes the most precious substance in the universe in order for you to be saved, and you can't afford it. The blood of Christ is not something that you can procure by the money in your pocket or all the work you can do in a lifetime. It's simply not possible. Can you imagine complaining about avoiding eternal death? Many complain about the requirement of baptism and would rather do something else. Faith only saves, after all, although it doesn't. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, if you will. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul writes to a group of people, and we're included in this group, who would rather murmur and dispute than anything. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. How many things? All things. Do all things, especially these things that are so important in our lives. We can be washed and be clean. Are we going to complain about God's commands? Then there is the caring friend attitude. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And how much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? You have to get the attitude when Naaman drives a truckload of treasure, and that treasure is not accepted, that there isn't anything that he can do, anything that he can work, in order to receive what God has offered. There's this big wagon of treasure. What is it? It's a pile of metal, gold and silver. But he wants to build something. He wants to do some great thing. He wants something more famous. Naaman's servant asks, if the prophet would have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? The thing is, yes, he would have. Why reject something so easy? Naaman was lucky to have such a good friend, and the world needs more good friends who will try to show others the error of their ways. Many times we get caught up in a situation and can't see clearly. A good friend will help us to see it as it really is. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 brings up the situation where one of us has fallen into sin, has gone off and wandered somewhere. We need someone to get us back, and we need it to be those that are closest. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. One erring from the truth. That certainly was a picture of Naaman, erring from the truth. He should have been happy to have such a good friend. Naaman's servant saved him from certain death. A good friend will help us see more clearly. Psalm 142 and verse 4. Psalm 142 and verse 4. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. May it ever be said of us that God is our refuge. Notice finally the obedient attitude. When something really happened, when God moved heaven and earth in order to get something done, to complete his promise, what did it take from Naaman? He had to have an obedient attitude. When Naaman the Syrian finally realized how foolish he was, he obeyed Elisha's commands. We need to put away our pride and big heads and obey God. Now, I want you to carefully understand something. Naaman wanted Elisha to do some elaborate and great thing. He was willing to, that is, Naaman was willing to build some temple or something in order to have it be grandiose. But when he did exactly what God told him to do, he is in God's book forever. We are standing 3,000 years after this event. And we're still reading about Naaman the Syrian. God made him more famous than he could ever possibly be on his own. The obedient attitude. The obedient attitude causes you to be remembered in heaven. Causes you to be remembered among the angels. Causes you to be remembered among the brethren. Many are going through the motions but are not really obeying God. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. It was the same problem. This Naaman problem was nothing new. Saul and his generals and soldiers had the same problem. They rejected the word of the Lord and said, we want something different. We want something better. We want something more famous. We want it grandiose. We had a great battle. Let's have a great sacrifice. After all, sacrifice is what they did after great things. So let's make it a big one. And so they gathered up all the cattle that they were supposed to have killed, and they were going to make a big sacrifice with it. But they were told by the prophet of God that this is not the way of God. Obedience comes first. We've said it often. We're going to say it often, more often in the future. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. A proper attitude is a must if we're going to be pleasing to God. And you have to ask yourself right now, if you have washed and are clean, and if you are not clean, you need to ask, what do I do about it? Go to the prophet. In this case, the prophet's not me. The prophet is Jesus in the scriptures. What did he say that you needed to do in order to wash and be clean? Did he say that you needed to have water sprinkled on you by some priest, that some words are said over the water to make it holy? Did he say anything about that? No, not a word. Did he say anything about the sinner's prayer? We've been studying about that quite a bit. Have any of you found that sinner's prayer that was supposed to be found in Bible class? You know that it's not in there. What do we do to be clean? We are to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. It's the sins that makes us dirty. How do we cleanse from those sins? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, day of Pentecost, the day that the doors are thrown open into the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are used by the apostles that day. What is the key? The key is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Jesus put it another way in his great commission, that if we're baptized, that we're saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Who would become the Apostle Paul was told by one by the name of Ananias, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The water is ready. Do you have the faith in order to make that water useful for you today? Will you go to the Jordan 7 times and be clean? Will you obey the Lord's command and be ready to march to the promised land today? Are you ready? There may be some who have done that, but they need to be clean once again. Ask God for forgiveness, and he has promised to forgive. Don't leave this place without asking. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?